Travis Garrison on the Field of 68 Networks. I got my brother, my former teammate with me today, Harris Brown. What's going on, bro?
What's up, man? What's up? How's it going?
Everything is good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, man. I here living this sunshine state, Florida life. Can't complain.
Oh, yeah. It's freezing where I'm at, man. So, you know, I'm jealous, bro. I'm jealous, man.
Yeah, man. I when I got out here, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not going back. Anywhere else I have to live, it's going to be nice and sunny.
Yeah, because for everybody that they may not know, you from, what, Chicago, right?
Yeah, I'm originally born and raised in Chicago. Actually, I've been out here in Florida coming up on 5 years.
For 5 years?
Yeah.
Man, hey, I know a lot of people that move to Florida and do not want to go back anywhere else. Taxes and everything. Taxes, heat, everything.
I see why. I love it out there, man. I just wanted a different environment for my kids, man. I wanted them to see, you know, something different. It's right, actually kind of funny. We went and visited Chicago, and my little son was actually born here in Florida. And so we went out there, and it was snow outside. And so we went to the window in the hotel, and I let him look out the window. He's like, what's that? And he was seeing snow, so he didn't even know what was going on. Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, man, yeah, man. That experience, man. When you, like you said, you go. I mean, for the kids, obviously they might like it. You know that snow and stuff like that. But as we get older, bro, I know me. I'd rather be where you at right now.
I'm listening to stories from my mom and some family members back home talking about the ice and all the other stuff. I'm like, nah, I don't miss all that. Have to go warm up the car. Got to clean off the car. Nah, I'm straight.
Hey, I was in Chicago. Like, I'd never been to Chicago before. I went there for the first time. But it was like, it was winter time, man. So it was snowing. And then I wanted to go to the big building with the Sears Tower.
Sears Tower.
Yeah, man. Went to the roof. First of all, I don't do heights. I don't do heights, believe it or not, bro. So they wanted to go all the way to the top. And then, but it was so foggy that the top was closed. So you couldn't even see out. Yeah, so it was like super foggy the weekend I was there.
Yeah, they tried to change the name of it to the Willis Tower, but real Chicagoans, it's gonna always be the Sears Tower for us, man.
Hey, I want to know, man, because I think about it sometimes because I'm not from Chicago, of course, but like when Michael Jordan was playing, bro, what was it like living in that city during that time, man? What's on you? You talking about? Prime Jordan, they went in back to back. What was the city like then, man? Was it like a Hollywood type thing, man? Where it was like, man, any everybody, their business booming and everything, man. Just the life. What was the life like during those times?
I never forget when they won the championship 1 year, and I went to my back porch. I was standing in an apartment at that time. Uh-huh. And I just sat on the back porch and just watched people ride down the street, blowing the horn, hanging out of the cars. It was crazy, man. Every year that they won, it got crazier and crazier. But yeah, man, Jordan did some nice things and brought some excitement to the city. It was real nice, man, like no other.
Did you ever run into him anytime being out or like, you know, had a chance to see him, like besides being in the arena?
No, I actually never had an opportunity to run into him or anything like that. It was just more so, you know, going to the games, you know, seeing, you know, court view or a camp. I remember as a shorty, I went to a camp and I was able to see him there. But like older memories, I haven't really never had a chance to meet up with MJ or anything like that.
Hey, question for you, though, because I just watched the KG documentary, right? Okay. And he's talking about during the times when he was in Chicago, when he went to high school in Chicago and those things. And obviously, you know, y'all got D Rose,
Eddie Curry.
Eddie Curry, yeah, all those guys. But like, we ran the same age. So, but like in regards to when KG was in high school, did you ever had a chance to like, did you hear the stories or did you have a chance to go watch him play or what?
I never got a chance to see KG play in high school, but man, from like footage and hearing stories from people that actually, you know, witnessed it, man, KG was a huge problem, man. Unstoppable, bro. Like crazy. Like I got some older cats that I hoop with when I was, you know, hooping on a regular, and they used to tell some crazy stories about KG and him and Ronnie Fields, bro. So yeah.
I you know what's so crazy, bro? I did not know who Ronnie Field was at first, right? I'm talking about, obviously, as I got, I mean, as time went on, I started watching, but I played against him in the CBA. Okay. So I'm playing against him. This is after the car accident. I guess he's kind of older at the time, but we playing against him. It was a big game too, bro. But I'm just coming out of Maryland, and you know, they talking trash. I'm talking trash back, and dudes on my team like, yo, you don't know who that is? I'm like, nah, man, I don't care. Like, oh, cool, that is, man. He talking about, man, you better Google me. So he said, you better Google me, or you better ask about it. So, but still can hoop, though. Still can go. Obviously, yeah, He wasn't a high jumper like that. But, yeah, man, after we played against each other, I gave him some work, too, by the way. But after we played, I had to throw that out there. But after we played against him, as I started to learn and see the documentaries and, you know, everything about Chicago, and then they talking about Ronnie Fields they was more so talking about him than KG in regards to going out of high school.
Ronnie Fields was the truth, man. I wish you had a chance to see, or you probably have seen some old footage of him, man. Like, he was the truth, bro. He was the truth. I'm talking about jumping over people and all kind of stuff in game. Yeah,
I saw, because obviously I think people was telling me, man. I was like sitting, and I saw, like you said, I saw the KG documentary, and they were showing his highlights. I'm like, man, crazy, bro. I'm like, this, yeah, I guess they was right. Yeah, he could have went, man, because he's so athletic, being a guard and the way he was scoring. Then they got KG. It was a problem. It was, yep, a problem, bro. Them two.
Both of them was going. They was giving out work. They was giving out big work.
So, and being from Chicago, man, because y'all got a lot of hoopers that came through there too, man. So what was that like, you know, coming up playing against those guys? Like, you know, like I said, you had Dirk Shue, you had even my our guy, man, that played at Duke.
Sean Dockery.
Sean Dockery, because I think him and Eddie Curry had their documentary out when I was in high school.
I can't think of the name. What's the name of it?
Because they had, it was him and Eddie Curry had the documentary. I mean, I think that was
exactly what you're talking about. He used to come on. It was him, Eddie Curry, Jason Strait. Yeah, I know
Jason exactly. Strait was, yeah, I forgot Jason Strait. That's my guy. We went over to Croatia together, man, on a world tour. Me and Jason Strait, yeah.
it was tough, man. Like, you know, every night, you know, you gotta lace them up, man. It was every tournament, and Chicago is real huge on you know, summertime, summer leagues and stuff like that. So,
right.
Yeah, one huge one where all the pros used to come. It's called at IIT. It's called IIT. Okay. And, man, everybody played. Michael Finley, Ben Gordon, when he was playing.
Ben Gordon. It was
all kind of pros that used to come through there, you know. And, you know, as a shorty, going to those games and actually watching them and then finally having the opportunity to play against some of these people, man, it was crazy. It was real.
Yeah.
Learning from them and just actually finally seeing them, it was like no other. And summertime basketball, Chi-Town basketball in the summer is always crazy. Even right now, it's getting back to where it used to be. But
yeah, it's
crazy in Chi-Town, man. You gotta really be ready, because any given night you can get 40 put on your head.
Nah, man. So being from Chicago, what made you want to come and play at Maryland? What other options have you had? But what was your final decision to make you want to come go to Maryland?
It was crazy, man, because, you know, in high school, I kind of started off, I played at Simeon in high school, where Derrick Rose played at. I played in high school.
Okay.
So, I ended up moving, because, you know, Simeon is in the city of Chicago.
Right.
I ended up moving to a suburb in Illinois. And so, you know, it was like, I want to say maybe 30-minute drive, 40-minute drive with traffic.
Yeah.
Driving to that school. So, listening to my peers, you know, hey, man, you come over here and go to this school. You go to this school. You'll be the man. You ain't got to worry about nothing, you know.
Right.
So I was like, okay, you know what? Cut down my drive. You know what I'm saying? I'll be right here closer to the house. The school's right down the street. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and transfer. So, I ended up transferring and didn't even play high school, really. You know, first year, didn't play. Second year, play really limited minutes. And so, you know, I was considering going to like a D2 out of high school.
Right.
And Albany State, that's the name of the school, Albany State. And, you know, I ended up going to, because as a shorty, I was a hoop head. I wanted to hoop everywhere. And so I had one of my buddies was like, hey, man, we about to go to, you know, Kennedy King. It's a junior college in Chicago. We about to go there and hoop. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, let's go. I didn't turn down no hooping anywhere. So wherever you want to hoop at, let's go.
Right.
And so pulled up in there, and I actually went in and I was killing, you know, giving out buckets. And the coach from that school was actually there. He's like, son, you know, what are you doing for what are you doing for school? I was like, man, right now, you know, I'm about to, you know, I just enrolled into a junior college just to take classes. And, you know, I'm planning on going to a D2, you know, once my grades is in order. He's like, no, son, no. You come here and play for me, you're going to guarantee, you know, I'm going to get you into a good school. So I was like, you know, cool, let's go. You know, I just want the hoop. So I ended up going to Kennedy King playing for Coach Dildy. Rest in peace, Coach Dildy. And played 2 years, man. My first year, and we had a lot of guys, different personalities. So I ended up coming off the bench, averaging 25-5 off the bench. My second year in junior college, you know, that was my year, you know, so I was going crazy. I think I got JUCO All-American that year. And I had a lot of schools, man. Even to this day, I try to tell my son, I want to say maybe 7 shoe boxes of mail from different schools, you know, just different kind of schools. I had UIC, University of Illinois. But between Maryland and – it came down from Maryland and Ole Miss. And I'll tell you what happened. So I ended up going to a visit with Ole Miss. To that school, you know, checked it out. Usually when you go on those visits, you usually sign on those visits, right?
Right.
And so I went, you know, they showed me around the campus, the arena, everything was nice, man. It was real nice. I'm like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to sign.
Right.
You know? So
right.
I went to meet with the coach. And at this time I heard it was a guy, it was between me and another guy. I think his name was Clarence Sanders or something like that. He was in JUCO too. And they wasn't sure if he was going to get the grades or not, you know, so. You know, I met with the coach right before I got ready to hop back on the plane. And so he was like, yeah, you know, give us about a week, you know, and we'll let you know, what we're going to do.
Right.
I was like, all right, cool. You know, I'll listen in. I'll wait a week. But as I was getting ready to fly back home to Chicago, I got a call from, I don't know if you remember, Rob Moxley.
Yeah, no, Rob. That's my guy.
Rob Moxley.
He recruited. Yeah.
So he was like, yeah, you know, we've been hearing good things about you. You know, we want to fly you out here for a visit. And I was like, shoot, you can't turn down a visit to the University of Maryland. So,
hey.
Yeah, just won the national championship a couple years ago, too.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yeah, that's no brainer. Let's go.
Right.
I had talked it over with my JUCO coach, and he was like, hey, yeah, go check it out. You know, at least check it out. I went out there. I think I met Chris. C-Mac, I met C-Mac, because I think a majority of you guys were gone because it was over the summer. Majority of you guys were gone. And went down there. I had a nice visit. Coach Booth was there. You know, we sat down, ate, we talked, went to the gym, got a little workout in. And then, you know, they brought me into the office the next day. And, you know, G-Dub was like, yeah, we want to offer you a scholarship. And I was like, man, I can't turn this down. So, you know, I ended up signing with the Terps.
Man, so what? That's crazy, bro. I don't think I ever knew that, bro. I don't think we ever had that conversation about it, though. You know what I mean?
Nah. So it was real crazy because I had went in there. I had, you know, they had gave me some background a little bit. You know, DJ was coming off of his knee injury.
Yeah, right.
And they were saying that they had another guard in, but he wasn't really playing well.
Right.
And it was like, man, it'd be a good opportunity for you. I was like, shoot, you know. Can't turn down ACC at that time. You know, can't turn down ACC and the Terps, you know.
Right.
And the crazy thing about it is Steve Francis was one of my favorite players too. So I was like, I gotta try this out.
right.
I ended up signing them papers.
So once you got now you're a Terp and you come on campus, man. What was your first experience like? Obviously coming from Chicago, now you in Maryland. I think the area was still good, like crazy at the time in regards to out. And like, what was your experience like when your first, now you're trying to get settled in? What was that experience like for you trying to get adjusted?
So my first year with Maryland was a struggle for me, you know, because I'm coming from, you know, a junior college where, you know, grade wise, all we got to do is the bare minimum, you know, just get the little work done.
Right.
Or they're not really, you know, pushing you as hard, you know, you don't got nobody falling over you and different things like that. So, you know, my first year there, you know, I got Coach Booth meeting me at my classrooms, making sure I'm going to class.
Right.
I got, you remember Kim upstairs and Kim Cochran upstairs. We used to have to
go. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
She wanted to check all my grades. She wanted to check every class. So it was a bit different, man. Like I had to do all of that, you know, with my grades on top of, you know, making sure that I'm trying to get them minutes to play on the court. So it was real different for me and took some adjusting. You know, I kind of pondered a few times over the summer, like, man, do I transfer back home or do I go to a junior college again or a D2 or something like that? Or do I just stick it out, you know what I'm saying, and man up and earn your way. And
right.
I never been a person to run from anything. So I ended up sticking it out. You know, I had a lot of I had a couple NAIA schools wanted me to transfer. Yeah, you're not gonna play. You might as well come get your minutes here and play.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm not. I had built a relationship with you guys, the other players on the team. You know, I had some friends out there, so I was like, you know, I'm gonna stick it out. You know,
right.
And so, and it was my senior going into my senior year. So, hey, I'm gonna stick it out, and it ended up working out for me.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, like that adjustment period, man. You know, I tell kids all the time, man. You know, just. Yeah, it goes what works best for you. You know what I mean? But nowadays, man, you know, they got the transfer portal. So anybody that's not happy, man, they could get in. I'm like, man, I was just talking to somebody the other day about it. I'm like, man, that's too much going on, man. Like it's because I mean it's good for the kid because you have times when, for example, you get recruited by a coach, then you get in there and the coach end up leaving, and now you kind of stuck. You know what I mean? So kind of benefits the kids, but at the same time, you got some young just. They're like, man, you know what? I ain't getting my way somehow. You know what I mean? So they bouncing around. So I think it's a good and bad thing. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I was talking to I was at my son's game. I got a partner out here that live in Florida too, from Chicago. We were sitting there talking. He's like, man, the transfer portal, man, it's crazy. If we had that when we were playing, it'd be a whole different ball game. But, you know what I'm saying? I just try to teach, you know, the younger kids, like, if you run from something, and you're gonna be running from something for the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
Might as well stay here, face that little adversity, try to overcome it, and that's gonna make you a better person.
Absolutely. And like you said, that's the thing, man. You know, just gutting it out. You know what I mean? Just gonna, like I've been saying, but at the same time, do what's best for you, but gutting it out too. But like I said, man, I don't know. I mean, I would love the fact that they paying players now, that you get paid now. So that's a great thing, man. I'm hearing some of these contracts these kids are getting, man. I'm like,
do you remember that lawsuit, the class action lawsuit they had from that video game? And they had all of them in the video game. That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
Because I remember, I forgot it was what's his name, man? He was one of the original ones that. That filed the lawsuit. What's his name? I think he played at UCLA back in the days, man. I forget his name, man, but he initially, like, he was like one of the people that first started that lawsuit, man, to make all that happen. So, I mean, it kind of, I guess he kind of helped out the whole situation, you know, with everything. With the players.
Definitely paved the way.
Yeah. Hey, but before we talk some more Myrna basketball, let me tell you guys a little bit about partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now's the time because they are offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart is that they require just one playthrough to turn your bonus to cash money. With their new Rush Pay instant approval, withdrawing your winnings is safer, more secure, and more reliable. With basketball season tipping off, get in on the action by going to BetRivers.com today or by downloading the Bet Rivers app. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let me ask you a question, bro. What were some of your best times at Maryland in regards to, like, what was the game you like this, man? That was crazy. I'd never forget that. That's what I tell people about all the time. What was that experience in the game or just a play or, like, your experience? Like, what's some of your best experience that you had when you was at Maryland?
One game I remember, man. It was the North Carolina game. I think they were like top five. I don't know if they were number one, but I know they were top five. And we ended
this
up.
When y'all was at North Carolina, right?
No, we was at home. We was at home.
Okay.
We was at home, and we ended up beating them. And I think throughout the whole week, you know, preparing for them, the man, Coach Giselle was like, he was like, you know, if we win, you know, I'm jumping in the hot tub with my suit on. And so we ended up beating them, man. It was crazy, crazy atmosphere, man. I think Mike Jones went crazy that game. And everybody stormed the floor, stormed the court. It was crazy. We was jumping around and everything. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got lost in the crowd. And so we get back in the locker room. And I think JG say, "Hey, Giselle, what's up?" Man, that man walked to the back to the hot tub, bro. Took his phone, all his wallet and everything out and just fell back into the hot tub. It was crazy, man. But yeah, that game was off the chain. The first time, you know, storming the court, you know, you see it on TV all the time. And then
right.
Finally, you know, actually be in tune with it was crazy, man. I'll never forget that game. To this day, I still talk about that game. It was crazy.
Yeah, definitely, man. I tell people all the time, like, it's it's not hard, man, but sometimes we move so fast in life, and then life goes on, and, you know, we continue to play, or we got kids, and we don't really have a chance to really sit back and think about those type of moments. Unless somebody asks us about it, or we having a conversation about it, then we're like, dang, you know what? I forgot all about that. Because I'll be having conversations now with fans or boosters or, you know, alumni, and they tell about experiences that they had when they was watching from the fans' perspective. And so, because, you know, we players, we're on the court, so we don't, you know, we in the midst of everything, you know what I mean?
We locked in the game.
Right. But they tell us from a fan perspective, is like, yo, this is was crazy. So I'm hearing stories from that perspective. I'm like, this young, that's crazy. You know what I mean? Or we go back and watch, you know, film, like, for example, like, they always show, like, the ACC tournament game. Like, somebody always showing something like that. So I'm watching it, like, on TV. I'm like, yo, like, yeah, we was there, bro. Like, it was – so it's like it's a crazy outlook on it now. You know what I mean? Obviously, you get older now, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy to think back now. Well, you know how – I mean, it's kind of hard for us to get the film back from back then, but now they got everything on YouTube now. You can find all the games on YouTube or online, whereas when we was there, we had to – hey, can you give me that film? Can you give me that disc for that thing?
I do remember that, man. He chopped it up. Can you make this DVD for me? Like, all that. That's crazy times, man. What was your obviously getting recruited is one thing, but when you actually get on the court, you in practice and you playing under G Dub, man. What was that experience like for you, bro?
It was crazy. It was crazy because, you know, coming from Chicago, you know, a lot of people have a perspective of how you are, you know.
Right.
Chicago is tough, you know. Any player that a coach get, they're gonna say, hey, this kid from Chicago, he gotta be tough. I never forget one day we was in practice, man. And I think I ran into Nick, man. Nick Cantamelli. And I don't know what I did with my hip, man, or something, bro, but I could not walk. Like I think JJ was like, it was a hip pointer or something like that. I heard it. Like, I couldn't really walk.
Right.
And right. I think JJ went over there and told him. And G-Dub, you know, G-Dub being G-Dub. What the hell? He can't play? He can't practice? But he's from Chicago. So I'm out there the whole rest of the practice, hobbling around, trying to make sure that I'm good. This is my first year. You know, you want to make that impression.
Right.
But then I got back to the locker room. I'm like, hey, JJ, I need some ice, man. It's hurting. JJ, what can I do? He's like, man, it's not really much you can do. Put some heat on it when in practice. And, you know, you got to go away on his own. But it was different, man. It kind of taught me a lot, though, because, you know, I was used to being, you know, like one of those guys coming from junior college. You know, I was like that number one option, one or two option. And then coming to Maryland and have to, you know, gel in with everybody. And then, you know, playing for Gary Williams kind of, you know, taught me a lot. It actually taught me a lot. Now that I think back on it, at that time, you know, I was like, man, you know, what is he doing? You know, why I'm not playing? But as I grow, you know, and watched a lot of basketball, played a lot of basketball, I was like, you know, he was helping me, help prepare me, you know, for the future. And so,
right.
But yeah, man, it was a different transition. You know, you got to do everything harder, faster. You know, you got to think the game out. It was a task, man, for sure.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, man. I remember, bro, and I'm thinking of it. Like, I think I don't know if I emailed them or text them. I might have emailed them, man. I was this was like my probably my second year playing pro, and I was writing my first book. So with doing that, I had to reflect back on my past, you know what I mean? And I was thinking about everything G-Dub used to tell me, you know, and how much I used to fight against everything that he tried to help me with, you know what I mean? Like, because, you know, young guys, man, in college, they kind of think they want to do, either you have somebody in your ear saying, look, this is what you should be doing, this is how you should be playing, or if you're trying to get to the next level, you got to be doing this. So the coach is telling you to do something else. You're like, nah, man, I got to do this because I'm trying. So you're trying to do what's benefiting you, where he's more so like trying to help the team and also benefit you. But I didn't see it at the time. So right. I probably emailed him, man. But I wrote him a letter, man, just like apologizing about how I handled things back then. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you know what? Coach, you was right, man. Like, I handled the situation all wrong, you know, because look, like I said, as you get out, you start seeing things and you get in that pro life, it's a little different, man. So, yeah, we had that. And then I ended up seeing him. He was at the math one time, recruiting some kids, and we had to sit down. But yeah, man, like you say, it's not too late on. And that's what I tell kids now, man. I try to give them my experience and how things I was perceived to be when I was in college.
Yeah, it's crazy because I didn't really realize it until I actually ended up coaching out here in Florida for mm-hmm. high school for 1 year. I was an assistant coach, head JV coach. And I was like, man, is this how we used to treat, you know, Coach Booth and all the other coaches? Like, man, is this what we used to do to them, man? Is this how we used to treat them? I was like, man. But yeah, like I said, it take it to you to get older and actually really thinking like, man, I was tripping.
Tripping, bro. Tripping. Like, even like you said, even now, man, like how we used to. Yeah, but you know, man, like we young, man. We, you know, I know me, man. Probably I thought I knew everything and wanted to do things my way, man. And you know, sometimes you got consequences because of that. You know, depending on how you're trying to act a certain way and do things your way, not buy into the system. I call it, you know.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, I mean, Coach, he's a Hall of Famer. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep moving. Yeah. Like, he played in the league. He played for Chicago. So, like, you know, but you live and learn. And then, you, like you said, man, you educate the young kids and the young young guys coming behind you. I mean, that's our job in a sense, you know.
Yep.
So, yep. So now you started playing pro, bro. Like, what country did you play in?
Oh, man, I played in Hungary, Germany, Mexico, Uruguay, Colombia, Cyprus, Italy. I played in Morocco. That was crazy. It's a lot, man. I can't even name all of it.
And that's so. What was that experience like going from now you leaving college where, you know, we couldn't wait to get out of, but now you playing that pro life? Now we're getting paid for our services. We're getting paid for, you know, all the hard work we put in, you know?
Yeah. So it was nice for me, man. It was real nice. So I my first country was actually Germany. And I'll never forget, man. You know, I'm working out, trying to get my first offer, whatever the case may be. And I think it was like maybe 3 or 4 in the morning. I got a message on, what was it? I want to say maybe one of them apps that they use. You know, I got a message on like 3, 4 in the morning. Yeah, man, we got an offer for you for a team out here in Germany. I was like, man, I was geeked. Like, I think it's 3, 4 in the morning. I think I stayed up the rest of the day. I didn't have my passport or nothing. I wasn't ready for nothing. So I ended up getting up bright and early, researching how can I get my passport expedited and everything, because they had already had the date they wanted me to come and everything. So
right.
I got up, did my research, ended up getting my passport expedited. And man, I was like, man, I'm ready to go. Didn't know what to expect at all when I first got out there.
Right.
But Germany was nice, man. It was real nice, bro. Like, I know a lot of people say different things about Germany, like racism and different stuff like that, but Germany was nice for me, man. I enjoyed it.
Hey, that you got lucky, man.
Now, see, I never forget. We ended up. They had a one club out there. It was like kind of next to Belgium and Germany. I think Chris was out there playing in Belgium at that time too.
Uh-huh.
And it was one big club where all Americans go to. I ended up meeting one of your boys. You probably know him. I can't think of his name, man. He from the DC area. He know all y'all. What is his name, man? I can't think of his name right now. But he was out there. Everybody was out there, bro. Like everybody on that first Sunday when that club opened, everybody was like, oh, man, it was crazy. The club had like four different levels, and each level had like four different, you know, rooms. It was real crazy, man. I was like, man, this is nice. You know, for me, my first year not knowing what to expect, it was nice, man. Then it was even better because I had a partner that I had met. He was from Cali. His pops actually lived in Germany. So we was able to get all the American food, like the hamburger helper, the hood snacks, the cereal from back home and everything. So we was good.
Man, that's crazy. You got lucky, man. Your first year playing pro ball, man, you was in Germany. That's just like I tell people all the time. Germany is like the epitome to the NBA in the sense of how they do their business over there. Because first of all, the league is funded by the government. So you're going to get paid on time where everybody else was getting paid 3-4 months later, not getting paid at all. I was in Greece, wasn't getting paid like that. They wasn't even paying players. So like you definitely got lucky, man. It's funny because my Terrell Stoglin, his first year overseas with me in Greece, and they were shamming on the money. So his mindset was like, dang, this is overseas life. Like, this is how it is. And nah, it's really not how it is. Because I've been in experiences where I was playing in South Korea and I was getting paid early, like soon 12-1 hit. It was in my account. But I told him, learning other things now and being a player in other countries is not like that in every place. You know, some are good, some are bad, some are in between.
You know how they say, man, that first impression, you know, is everything. And if you get that first, you know, bad taste in your mouth, now you're thinking like, dang, man, so I got to go through this the whole career without getting paid. Mm-hmm. I actually was kind of fortunate, man, where I didn't run into any issues where I didn't get all my money. Actually, you know what? It may have been one instance when I was in Mexico, but for the most part, you know, I was able to get, you know, all my checks. I actually played in Lithuania quite a bit for I think maybe 3 years straight. And my agent was Lithuanian. So he definitely made sure that I, you know, I was able to get my money, you know, every time. But I haven't ran.
I think you was on my old team, right? I think we talked about that.
Palanga.
Yeah, man. That's funny. I forgot you did play at Palanga, but I forgot all about that. But nah, man. Yeah, man. Like I said, I tell kids all the time. Like I was telling Terrell at the time. I said, man, it's different experiences, different things for different individuals. You know, don't look at this situation. And we had like another older guy on our team too, man. That was really kind of, you know, helping the man, schooling him, and telling him what he needed to know. And then obviously, being a Maryland boy, you know, I was trying to look out the best way I could.
He's doing pretty well. He was in Morocco as well, right? You're talking about Stolen, right?
Yeah.
Played in that. They love him out there. Actually, I think he's on the same team that I was on when I played in Morocco. Morocco was nice though, man. I got the call about that, and I went out there, and I was like, I didn't know what to expect. You know, everybody like Africa. You know how people portray Africa, man. It looked just like Europe over there.
Yeah.
I was like, it was real nice. People was nice and everything.
I keep hearing all that.
They got that that time frame when they start praying. We'll be on our way to a game, and then you'll just see all of them just start praying. I was like,
this
is crazy, man. It's culture and, you know, difference. You know, it was crazy.
Yeah, man. Definitely, man. I tell people all the time, man. I love playing overseas, bro. Honestly, any country I played in, some were good, some were bad, but just that whole experience, man. The different cultures, the lifestyle. I mean, you're getting paid to do something that you pretty much know to do for, like, it's second nature, but you're getting paid for and you get to see the world at the same time, man. So I tell people all the time, like, yeah, I want to get to the league and everybody want to get to the league, but that's all great. But, man, just experience overseas, man, as money can't buy.
It definitely is. You got stories, man. You got memories, you know, like even now, right now, we can go tell a story about any country that we've been in, right? So,
right.
It, like you said, it's definitely – it's definitely huge, bro. Like, I got stories that I can tell my son when he get older. I'm telling stories now to my other son that's playing now. So,
right.
It's definitely a experience. I got all the film and everything. So, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I got the film. I still got people over there that's like family right now, man. So, I definitely, it's like I said, it's a blessing, man. Like you said, man, we got kids, and they playing sports. My daughter just started playing her first year, so she's starting to ask questions now. Yeah, man. She's super long. She's long, bro. Like she's tall and lanky. You know what I mean? So it's gonna be. I'm curious to see, you know, how that's going to develop into. Cause she started playing because her friends started playing. I asked her a while ago. She did everything else: swimming, t-ball, lacrosse, tracks, swimming. She do all this other stuff. And I said, "You want to try basketball?" She's like, "Nah." I'm like, "All right." But then her friends start playing at school. Now she wanted to join the team, and now she's a little more. Now she's starting to get a little more into it. You know, she's super competitive anyway. You know what I mean? So I was like, "Man, as long as you want to do it, you know, I'll let you do it." But you said your kids are playing now, huh?
I got my son, my little son, the one you seen earlier. He's only 4 years old, man, and I haven't taught him anything, showed him do anything, man. This man, you know how they got the tights with the one leg. He rolled his pants all the way up with the one leg, and he got the other leg long. He out there, he watching LeBron on his tablet, bro, on his iPad, and then he got his basketball from his rim. He just go around the house just shooting perfect form and everything.
Man, that's crazy.
My oldest son right now, he's playing in high school. He's on varsity. They actually going down state, so they got a game on Friday. They won state last year, and so, you know, it's his first year on varsity. Last year he played JV, and I give you a story about about that adversity we was talking about earlier. He, you know, he's been the best player on probably every team that he played on, right? And so, you know, he's on varsity now. His varsity team is tough, bro. He got the point guard is going to University of Florida. The shooting guard is going to Mississippi State, and then they got a center that's going to Kansas, University of Kansas. So they pretty tough, right?
Yeah.
And he got seven seniors on the team. So, you know, he's the only sophomore that was playing varsity at that time. And, you know, he was like, man, you know, he wasn't playing. You know, he wasn't getting minutes. You know, it's more a development, you know, stage for him. So he wasn't getting minutes. Came to us, man, I want to go to JV. I want to play JV. I want to play. It's like, you know, do you go to JV and just dominate JV? Is that going to help you get better? Or will it help you get better playing against this D1 player or these D1 players every day in practice? You know, so he wanted to run, you know, go play JV. But, you know, I was like, nah, we're not going to quit. You know, we're going to work our butt off and, you know, earn our minutes. And he playing now. And now he's getting minutes, you know, in good games right now. So, and he got an opportunity to win, you know, a ring for state. So, you know, just a matter of overcoming adversity and, you know, not listening to your peers and, you know, just sticking it out.
Right, man.
Easy to learn.
Of course. And like you said, man, that's definitely up to you, man, for that, man, because a lot of, we could say whatever. We could be one of those parents to be like, oh, nah, you treat transfer and you, but he goes here and plays. Nah, all that's doing is handicapping the kid. You know what I mean? I tell parents that all the time, man. I tell the kids that, not the parents, the kids. Like, man, if you want something bad enough, you gonna work. You know what I mean? I was telling people, even at the math, they thought things was given. No, you gotta work because every year they got somebody coming in and they nice. So you gonna have to work. So, man, that's definitely what's up, man. And that's just not, you're not just teaching him basketball lessons, man. Them life lessons bro. Because as we know, in basketball, a lot of things transfer from the court to life, bro. And us going through our adversity on the court, we know how to handle life a little differently now because we're like this, oh, man, you know, we was in the game. We was down 15, but we didn't give up. When we came back and won that joint when it seemed impossible, same thing in life, man. We had one hiccup, man. We fall down one time. We know how to dust ourselves off and keep it moving, man.
Yep, that's definitely facts, man. That's definitely – we always talk about it all the time, man. Basketball is life teachers, man. And I was telling him my main message to him was like, I'm not going to let you quit. Because you ain't gonna be quitting in life. I gave him a nod. I said, "So what if I just quit on y'all?"
Right.
So, you know, he stuck it in there. You know, let the coach know he was gonna stick it out, and like I said, he getting minutes now. So, just gotta work harder, man. That's it.
Yeah, and that's something that's gonna stick with him for life, bro. But P, man, hey, I appreciate you, bro.
Sir.
Appreciate you joining me from the sunny spot you at, man, in Orlando, man. I'm still jealous about that, but you know, I'm gonna make my way down there soon, man. But nah, I appreciate you joining the Go Terps with Travis Garrison on the Fitness 6-Day Network, bro. It's always good talking to you, man. Talking to my former teammates, man, and my former guys, bro. man, I definitely, you know, wish your son the best of luck, your youngest and your oldest. And we definitely got to keep in touch, bro.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you for having me on here, man. We definitely going to keep in touch, man. Got to get out there, too, in D.C., man. I miss my D.C. go-go and all that, man. I got to get the heck out there.
Oh, now, we're going to get something together, man. I got to add you. We all going to get up in the group chat, man. We're going to talk about how everybody, all the former teammates get up, man, and link up and meet up during the summertime or something. But we're going to talk.
All right,
I appreciate it, bro.